Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we think about what it means to sow and to reap. But first, let's pray. O God, your word is more precious than fine gold and sweeter than purest honey. As we turn to your scripture, by your Holy Spirit, let your word come to us in truth and grace, so that we cannot help but respond with hearts of love and a deepened trust in you. Amen. Our reading is from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 10, and I'm reading from the NIV. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so may God bless his word to us today and always. Today, using this particular scripture as a launching pad, we are going to look at the concept to sow and to reap. Some see this as a universal principle, since we can see evidence of it in almost everything around us. So, with every action, there is an equal but opposite reaction. What goes around comes around. What we put in will be what we'll get out, and so on. From a Christian perspective, God has instituted this cause and effect relationship so that we can understand that all things will be resolved in the end. Also, so that God's people will benefit by remembering that nothing we do is without consequence. This is not only in the negative sense, but in the positive sense as well. So this means we have an impact on people and situations. Yet we're also not the sole influence on any given situation. Of course, knowing about the principle and actually living it as a Christian effectively are two completely different things. And I will explain a bit more about that as we go on. What is important to know is this: no matter what we are engaged in, we sow and we reap. In our attitudes, how we are towards one another, how we spend our lives, all of these and so much more are acts of sowing that yield some kind of crop which we ultimately harvest. For example, it has been said that there is no such thing as standing still in the spiritual life. If we cease to grow, then we shrink. This means that there will always be some kind of result from our actions or inaction. No action still yields a result. A good example here is this: breathe and you live. Don't breathe and you die. So there are two things that we can say about sowing and reaping. Firstly, some harvests people reap are unavoidable. Perhaps this can be better understood as consequences. Consequences can be devastating, especially when the seed that was sown is the kind that has an impact on a family or is connected to society. By this I mean, for example, adultery. It affects a whole family. Fraud can lead to conviction and imprisonment. Substance abuse can lead to all kinds of disastrous consequences in people's lives that are hard to rectify from a social point of view, even after repentance. A good example from the Bible is the matter of David and Bathsheba. God forgave David for his sin, but he lost the first child born of this relationship, and peace did not last in his kingdom and family as a result. Now, if we were to consider another aspect of unavoidable harvests, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20 has this to say: "Watch out for false prophets," said Jesus. "They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them." Now, while this passage has to do with recognizing the false from the true prophets, the idea of sowing and reaping is present, in that the kind of fruit that is evident will show what kind of tree it is. And if it's a thorn bush, no matter how much it calls its fruit grapes, it will always ever be a fruitless, thorny thorn bush. And so, what is reaped reveals what kind of plant it is, or what has been sown. It is not realistic to expect one kind of fruit from another kind of tree. And this brings us back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 8, where Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." The outcome of our efforts are fairly obvious, and the challenge is to know what the will of God is in Scripture, in order to sow with a view to pleasing the Spirit of God. This brings us to the second point. In view of the fact that some harvests are unavoidable, we need to respond to the call to continue to sow good seed, or good works, God's kind of seed. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10 says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So here is a call to press on with sowing good seed that will bring forth a harvest at its appointed time. In our age, where people want instant results, there is a certain impatience that some have for God to hear us and for God to answer us as soon as we make known to Him the issue at hand. And of course, we are fickle creatures. Many of God's people are highly inconsistent in their sowing. On one hand, they want God to move in their lives and in the lives of their loved ones. Often, though, in their behavior, they are so contrary to the message of grace and love while expecting these things. But sowing and reaping really has to do with a basic commitment to a consistent message being transmitted. James puts it this way in chapter 3, verse 9 to 12. "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. How do we imagine that we can get any good sowing done like this? My brothers," he says, "this should not be." And then James asks this rhetorical question: "Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs?" The answer is, of course, no. Then he says, "Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." No wonder some folk struggle with their spiritual lives. And so we can apply this principle of consistency to our prayer lives or to our reading of the Bible and really come to grips with what God is saying. Do we perhaps sense God putting His finger on this area in our lives, that is consistency, where we can possibly make some adjustments? When Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 of giving and said, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously," he was underlining not only the need for generous giving, but for consistency. Not fits and starts, but consistency. God wants us to see that to sow and to reap is an effort of giving ourselves to Him consistently. And so as we come to an end, here is a text that properly helps us to understand what we are called to. Let us note God's call to us to continue to sow as we live in this world of ours that is not at all well. A world that asks, "What's in it for me?" or says, "Do good only when it will directly benefit you," or "Give only when you know it will bring a good return," and then also "gather for yourself at the expense of the general good of others." We are called to so much more. We are called to sow in obedience in Jesus' name, despite what we may see, think, or feel. These verses from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 to 6, have something really meaningful to say to us. So as we go from one verse to the next, let's hear what the writer said. In verse 1, he says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again." Meaning, there is always a return on your effort. And in verse 2, he says, "Give portions to 7, yes to 8, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land." Meaning, if you want something of your efforts to remain, and you want something of a legacy to remain, spread your gifts out among many. Don't hold them to yourself or in a limited circle. Verse 3 and 4 says the following, "If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap." Meaning, do you know that when the time is right, the harvest will come, as surely as the clouds that are full will rain, and the tree will not stop from falling once it starts. But don't waste time waiting for the best conditions. It will almost never be the perfect time to sow in the world or in God's kingdom. The right time is always now. In verse 5, the writer says, "As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things." Meaning, and when you do give and sow, the results are not your concern. These things belong to God. Finally, verse 6 says, "Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well." Meaning, so don't just sit back and say you've done your bit. Your bit stops when you leave this world. You know, we continue to sow all the days of our lives. The question is, what are we sowing, and how consistently are we sowing good seed? May God help us to take this matter seriously in our everyday lives, and so be a witness to the life Christ sowed on the cross to reap a harvest of many lives, which includes us. And so let us pray. Gracious God, we know that living in this world is not easy, and that you are aware of this. So we thank you that in your mercy we are able to come to you and know your grace, so that we may ever grow in being faithful as your witnesses in this part of our world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.